Italian journalist Beppe Severnini is a self-proclaimed train buff. He's traveled around the world by train in installments, each trip a revelation. He's viewed Europe, Asia, Australia, and the U.S. all by rail. He even honeymooned on the Trans-Siberian Express, a six-day trip through six time zones in second class and sharing the compartment with two strangers. Talk about romantic. He's documented this journey and many others in his book, Off the Rails, A Train Trip Through Life. He joins us now to tell us what riding the rails can teach us about a nation's culture and ourselves. Ciao, Beppe.
Ciao, Rick. Lovely to hear from you.
Wow, I love trains and you love trains and you've traveled the world in installments. I love that idea that each segment or trip is a revelation. You know, you wrote a book about it. You collected your favorite train experiences. And just in general, how is a train trip a revelation?
Well, let me do something that I don't normally do, sort of read from my books, just a few lines, because they give you, you know, it's the very beginning of my Off the Rails book. And just a few lines. Travel in general, and train travel in particular, is an opportunity to think, sum up, confront ideas, but it is especially a way to understand what we're like and what we've become. We and the world around us. That's the point. I mean, you can think when you travel by train. Someone else is driving. That's the bottom line. You can relax and you can read a book. You can talk to other people. You can watch the landscape. But you can think about yourself. I think lots of books and revelations and marriages and commitments actually were born during train travel. I'm absolutely convinced. Even on Amtrak, because it takes longer.
I think that we need to remember that when we do commit ourselves to a long train ride, that the ride itself can be a reason for the journey. One of my favorite examples from your book is the journey that you took across America with your 20-year-old son at the time, 5,000 miles, part car, part bus, but mostly by train, from Washington, D.C. to the state of Washington. And you mentioned your son, Antonio. It was a gift of mutual and personal discovery that Antonio chose to bestow on you. It was like an opportunity as a father to be sharing this experience with your son. What made this, of all your journeys, the most stirring journey?
Well, it's very generous from a 20-year-old son to spend almost a month with you, because we went south from Washington, D.C. We went to Georgia, then we went to Louisiana, then we went to Texas, then to the bottom of California, and then up. So it really took a long time. And he decided to spend it with me. And I really invite all of our listeners, fathers, do travel with your son once a year. It could be one day, can be a weekend, or once in a lifetime, as I've done, take a long train trip. And if I may, even mothers with your daughters, at 20 years old, wouldn't dream of going with his parents or her parents.
Actually, I haven't even thought about this before, but my father had a ritual called a sneakaway. And once a year, he would wake me up while it was still dark, and he'd say, "Son, let's go." And we would go, and my mom wouldn't even know where we were going. We would call her at breakfast time 2 hours later, and we would go somewhere on a hike or camping just for a day trip. But those were magic moments for me. It wasn't a big deal. You didn't need a passport. It was just time away together, and you had the luxury of that with your son.
I'm glad, Rick, I brought that memory back for you, because I've been doing that with my son. Maybe a football match, maybe bought two motorcycles going around. But that journey, the one that opens the book, is actually the most interesting.
Oh, yeah. Now, fundamental to the good experience is meeting people. And that's a common thread through all of your articles, is the people you meet. And you need to make a point to meet people. I mean, I remember in your book, you were on the train ride from Naples to London. And you actually had a bobblehead of Trump that you put out on the train car so that people would want, apparently, so people could talk politics with you. If you have that bobblehead of Trump, people are going to kind of go, "Hey, what's with that?" And it's going to open up doors that you would never have opened up.
I know it sounds absolutely crazy, but trust me, I didn't say anything. I just boarded a train in Naples, put my bobblehead Trump in front of me and said nothing. And all the way from Naples to London, that it takes 3 days, people would come and give me their view about America, about Donald Trump. And I was listening. It was fantastic.
Fascinating. You could take notes, and you're a journalist. You could get a whole fascinating essay out of comments from people passing me by in the train when they see my bobblehead Trump.
Yes, it's in the book. And, you know, bobblehead Trump has an advantage that he doesn't speak. He doesn't tweet at night. He's quiet, the bobblehead.
As a tour operator, you know, I've got a lot of guides that work with me, and they also work with other companies in Europe. And the standard wisdom for tour guides in Europe is don't talk about politics, don't talk about religion, and don't talk about soccer.
They are the most interesting things in life, and including sex. So talk about everything, all of those things when you travel by train is going to be fun.
Politics, religion, sex, and soccer. Talk about it.
Absolutely.
You know, share respectfully. And when you're on a train, you have a royal opportunity. I remember as a kid backpacking around Europe with my Eurail rail pass. Every time I had a picnic, I knew other people on the compartment would have a picnic also. And if I offered them some of my strawberries, suddenly the picnic becomes a food festival. And it's just a perfect opportunity. But we have to break the ice. You have to take the initiative to connect and to remind everybody, hey, we're all bored. We're all interesting. We're all in this compartment. Let's talk.
Of course, talk show. You know, the television format, the talk shows were invented on trains. Trains are traveling talk shows, free. You can be a guest, you can be the star, you can be quiet and watch the other people, but it's like a theater and a talk show all combined. The price of the ticket.
And you have an opportunity to contribute to peace and understanding in this world. I was just in Oslo 2 weeks ago in front of the Nobel Peace Prize Center. There's a curved bench. It's a bench that is like the shape of a semicircle. And it's a bench. And you can't sit on it without falling to the middle and being close to the people you're sitting with. And then there's a quote by Nelson Mandela saying, talking to each other is the greatest weapon for peace. And this is the peace bench. And when you're on a train, it's like you are falling together. You have to talk to each other. And you can do that. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Beppe Serenini. And his book is called Off the Rails, A Train Trip Through Life. And it's a collection of his basically epic train trips through his life. And Beppe, you call it Off the Rails. What's the backstory of the book's title, Off the Rails?
Oh, actually, it was the publisher who picked it because the Italian title was completely different and I liked it. I know what off the rails means. There is an element of off the beaten track and balance, right, in the word off the rails.
To me, it means you've lost your original plan and everything is going crazy, but you're going to ride it out and make the best of it.
Yeah, that's it. That's why I liked it. But it's something also my stories are coming off the rails because I describe my journey. Some of them are now all like the last summer of communists back in 89, taking a train in Helsinki and trying to get to Istanbul, Turkey, through the communist country at the time. It was like epic with my very young wife at the time. Crossing America from Portland, Maine to Portland, Oregon. That's another journey I took by train.
I want to talk about this one on the last year of communism because I was doing a lot of traveling back then too. That would have been in the late 80s or something. And I'm nostalgic about borders. And today it seems like where there's less borders, countries are communicating and there's less stress. And when there's more borders, that's when things are falling apart and we have to have more walls instead of bridges. And back then, there were a lot of borders, weren't there? Going through border formalities was a big part of the journey. I almost measured how far it was to the destination by how many borders I had to cross.
Absolutely. I'm glad borders have gone. In Europe, most of them have gone. You can travel from Norway or Sweden and go to Sicily without actually being stopped at the border.
That's a
really good thing. But I have to say that we are more or less the same age, Rick. And when we were young, I think borders were part of the excitement. As a 20-something, you know, it's like an obstacle, something you go through, you know, is a challenge, an obstacle, an uncertainty. Yeah. You need those when you are 22.
Yeah. You do, but you don't. But we know now, as people who want the world to live together peacefully, less borders is a very good sign. When I was thinking about my days of traveling through the Warsaw Pact and the former Soviet Union, vodka had a lot to do with it. Do you have any stories about hard liquor on a train ride and aggressive friendships?
Oh, yes, especially in Poland. I was traveling across Poland when I was coming from Leningrad across Poland. I crossed Poland two or three times, and I remember, you know, being challenged by a group of miners, very friendly, from Katowice or Zabrze. Oh, come on, you know, challenge. Let's right. drink together. Yeah. I'll say, oh, we have a problem. I'm not very good at holding alcohol.
Let's drink. That's the most frightening thing for me. If I'm on a train in Russia and there's three guys that look like they're looking for their soccer team, you know, or maybe they're going to military camp, and they say, let's drink. And I go, you can't say no. And, you know, if you say yes, you're going to go somewhere where you're going to be less in control. And it's quite forceful.
You must find a pot plant and poison that with, I'm afraid, poor pot plant and pour the vodka there once in every other vodka, you put it there. Otherwise, you have a real problem.
Yeah, and they'd still drink me under the table or under the bench. One of my favorite thoughts about train travel is romance on the rails. And I was reading some of your stories, and I just remembered way back in the days of communism, under a full moon, standing in the aisle of the train going from Prague to Budapest, and just standing there and getting to know the woman next to me. And it was just one of the most curiously romantic times I've ever had. Was just, you know how the window of the train, the old trains would pull down and it would be dusty and everything. But when you pulled the window down, it was just perfect view, brilliant, clean, the twinkling stars and the rhythm of the rails. And talking with somebody from far away and just exploring life together. One of the magical things. Tell me about romance on trains for you.
I opened the book with a phrase by an old traveler that wrote under a different name. This one is Valérie Larbeau. I read it to you. I felt for the first time all the sweetness of life in the compartment of the North Express between Verbalen and Pskov. The sweetness of life experienced on a train is something, an experience that you just described, Rick, that in this old traveler 100 years ago experienced. And I have too. And there is a lot. Graham Greene, Agatha Christie wrote about romance on the train. Mine was very special because I took my wife on our honeymoon from Moscow to Beijing on the Trans-Siberian when the Soviet Union was there, so it was pretty challenging, trust me. Also because I happened to find two other girls in the compartment and they were not. That was a bit of a surprise. If you want to know what happened, I can tell you.
So let me just set this up because I really enjoyed this chapter. We're talking, by the way, with Beppe Severnini. His book is called Off the Rails, A Train Trip Through Life. Talking about the epic train rides he's had over the decades. And apparently on your honeymoon, you had booked a nicer compartment for two for this 6 day through six time zones, 5,600 mile trip across Russia. Something happened, as happens on train rides, and the reservation got mixed up. So you ended up not only with miserable food and the most simple of hygiene, but you had to share the compartment with two strangers. And this was after you're married. I thought that'd be a grueling test that might be smarter before you're married, but you did this after you're married. Tell us more what happened and how that journey turned out.
Well, it was actually a few days after we were married, and I entered this compartment in Moscow, and the Soviet Union is there. It's not that you just go out, okay, I send an email and correct this, please. You know, the Soviet Union, you're talking about the 1980s, they couldn't care less. And those girls happened to be Russians. They were both called Lyuba, and they immediately realized what had happened. These poor bastards, you know, there's two Italians on their honeymoon. We are sharing
on their honeymoon.
sharing. And so I told my wife was a little perplexed, and I told my wife, let's see what we can do. And those girls were so nice, this Lyuba and Lyuba. Yeah. One was kind of younger, one was a little older. And around, you know, it takes 6 days, 6 nights, a long, long journey. And around 6 in the afternoon, sort of 6 in the evening, the younger Lyuba will tell the other Lyuba in English so we could understand. Lyuba, why don't we go for a walk? And the other would say, yes, Luba, and we'll be away for at least half an hour. So those poor bastards can have, you know, it's a honeymoon, for God's sake, you know. And when they left the compartment, Hortensia and I were still married happily. Sex? Of course not. We laughed for half an hour because the situation was so absurd, but it was lovely. And my final words, they are in the books, in Off the Rails, that if your wife smiles in a situation like that, in the Moscow station, is the Yaroslavsky Moscow station, and still smiles after 6 days in Beijing Central Station, you married the right woman. And I have.
And how many years ago was that?
37.
And you're still together?
Absolutely. Grandparents.
And now you've got a grandson who you can look forward to taking on train rides.
Yes, Agatha will. Agatha, oh, that's her name.
A granddaughter.
And she'll probably run the train because she's a bossy, very... She's 17 months, but I could see her bossing the bosses in Russia.
Pepe Severnini is with us from his home studio in Crema, just outside Milan, where he's an editor and columnist at Italy's largest circulation daily newspaper. We're celebrating the value of travel by train right now, which Pepe explores in his 2019 book, Off the Rails, A Train Trip Through Life. Pepe Severnini, so fun to talk to you. You know, we've both got this, we're from the same generation where the year rail pass has a nostalgic meaning. From a day when that was the way we traveled around, and it's great to celebrate the beauty of train travel. The book is called Off the Rails, A Train Trip Through Life, and Beppe, you talk about train tracks like closing a zipper. Tell us how train tracks are like closing a zipper.
The word is wide, the word is open, the word is complicated, the word is can be scaring, and you close a zipper because the line in the tracks are a straight line like a zipper, and you take the train and you close that zipper and somehow you create an order of some kind, mentally as well, because you go from point A to point B, you go from Moscow to Beijing, you go to Portland, Maine, to Portland, Oregon, and you look and you say, okay, of the word is complicated, the word is wide, the word is diverse, but at least I found some kind of order here, and I follow that order, I follow that, and I learned something. It's a time in life and in space and in time, but that is my time and my space.
And Beppe, to be able to talk with you about train travel live from Northern Italy to our studio here in Seattle, and to do it with the sound of your town's church bells accompanying us. It's just a reminder that the world's a beautiful place for us to explore, and when we do it, we need to do it in a way where we connect. Thank you so much, Beppe, and it must be a delight to have church bells out your window.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Ciao, grazie. Beppe Severnini's books include an international bestseller called Ciao America, An Italian Discovers the U.S. And he examines how Italian culture and character were tested by the COVID pandemic in Italian Lessons, 50 Things We Know About Life Now. You can listen to Beppe's earlier appearances with us with the shortcuts we provide at this week's show. It's at ricksteves.com/radio. Ready for a good long soak? A photojournalist takes us to her favorite hot springs around the world. That's next on Travel with Rick Steves. Yeah.
Thank you.